Growing up already as little kids, we learn what's called the golden rule, right? Everyone knows the golden rule. Treat others as you would have others treat you, right? And that's the real thing. It comes from the Bible. You can find it both in the Old and the New Testament. But then Jesus, let him get a hold of anything, right? Jesus takes this golden rule and raises it a notch higher. In the Gospel of John, he says that we must love one another as Jesus loves us. Whoa! You know, if we try really hard and really care about our neighbor, we might be able to treat them as we want to be treated. But to love them as Jesus loves them? That's impossible. Certainly without grace. But Jesus does indeed give us grace, and abundantly. Grace in this Eucharist, grace in the confessional, grace in all the sacraments, grace in prayer, grace to grow in the virtues, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. We just have to desire it, to believe it and say yes to it. In today's gospel from Matthew, good old Peter comes forward yet again. He begins with the divine title for Jesus, Lord. So he comes to Jesus with faith, and he asks an important question. Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times. Seven's a number of completion, a number of perfection. Sounds pretty darn good to me. But Jesus says, rather, that as long as the brother or sister, remember that means a fellow disciple, someone who's baptized, a believer, brother or sister, as long as they're asking for forgiveness, then forgiveness must always be given. And the parable that follows is all about how we are to imitate the mercy and forgiveness of God. As God is merciful to us, so must we be merciful to one another. In the parable, the king is certainly an image of God. Notice that everyone else is either called a servant or a fellow servant. Before the king, we're all servants. And in relationship to each other, we're all fellow servants. I think that's an important part of the story. And every servant is also a debtor to the king. It's important for us fellow servants never to forget our indebtedness to God. So this servant, who's also a debtor, owes the king a huge amount. Literally, the Greek there is equivalent to almost 3,000 years worth of wages. In other words, who can repay God for the gift of our creation, our life, our intelligence, etc., etc., etc.? We can't. It's completely impossible. So the king orders him to be sold, along with his wife and his children and all his property. Are you ready to be sold? He wants to get something back from his investment, so to speak, something at least. He can't get back all the debt by any means. So this servant does him homage. He worships the king, shows him fitting honor and reverence. And then, which was very appropriate, right? To show the king that, to make an act of homage. It would have been appropriate for him, because what follows then is he says, in addition to that reverence, he begs the king to be patient with me. And I will pay you back in full. Give me more time and I'll return everything. That might be our first clue that this servant is delusional. Because, or more likely, insincere. It was appropriate for him to make an act of homage. It would have been appropriate for him to beg for forgiveness. He doesn't ask for forgiveness. He only asks for more time to pay off the debt. He doesn't want to be indebted to this king. He wants to be rid of his debt to this king. He wants to be rid of the king. He thinks he can fool the king. Do we ever think that we can fool the Lord? Oh, he doesn't really care about this or that little indulgence that I have. Ah, he knows I was tired when I snapped at that person. It's okay. How often do we fool ourselves, let alone try to fool the Lord? The king knows that the servant is being too clever for his own good. And yet, he still has compassion on him. He's giving that servant every possible chance to become truly repentant. The Lord gives us opportunity after opportunity to receive his mercy, to try to soften our hard hearts, to penetrate our hardness of heart, to receive his mercy so that we can be merciful to one another. He doesn't give up on us. He keeps giving us opportunity after opportunity. Now, we can imagine from his subsequent actions that this servant left the king's presence thinking to himself, what a chump. I walked all over that guy. Some king. If I were king, I wouldn't let me get away with anything like that. Kingdom's gone to the dogs, if you ask me. Maybe I need to start supporting, you know, a rival king. If the king's an image of the divine, who's the rival king? Do we ever question, you and me, you ever question how God conducts his business? Do we ever think that we could do a better job? So did this guy. So did Adam and Eve before him. So did Lucifer before them. This servant now finds a fellow servant who owes him the equivalent of 3 months' pay, easily repaid. But he doesn't even ask him a question. Immediately, he seizes him, chokes him, and demands, pay back what you owe. Apparently, this is how the king should be conducting his business. This fellow servant that he's choking, this fellow servant does and says almost the exact same thing as the first, with the difference being that he could easily actually have repaid the debt. In response to the first servant's pleading, the king was moved with compassion. In response to the fellow servant's pleading, the gospel says, but he refused. The first is the divine response, moved with compassion. The second is the satanic response, I will not. Satan was the first to refuse to be merciful as God is merciful. And this fellow servant is placed in prison, which ensures he'll never be able to repay the debt. He'll always be indebted to the other. The king's response to this hard-heartedness is dramatic. He summons him and names him, you wicked servant. Not debtor or servant, you wicked servant. In the first instance, the king was only going to have the servant sold to get some benefit out of him. But now that the servant has proved himself wicked, hard-hearted, unpitying, now he hands him over to the torturers. Until the whole debt is repaid, which is to say, for eternity. You and I can imitate our divine master in how we forgive and show mercy, or we can imitate the satanic despot in refusing mercy and becoming a prison warden over others. But to refuse mercy and forgiveness, though, it's not to imprison the other, but to imprison ourselves in bitterness and unforgiveness. The divine master wants us to be free. And we become free by imitating his mercy to us. We become free by being a true servant of the divine king and a true fellow servant of one another. This is what it means to live the spirituality of stewardship, being mindful of the debt that we owe to the Lord and striving to repay that debt, impossible though it is, striving to repay that debt through a life of mercy, a life of time and talent and treasure, of giving back to our fellow servants here in our church. So here's the homework for the week. Beg the Divine Master this week to give you the grace to be free of any unforgiveness that you still harbor in your heart. And sometimes it's down there in places that we don't pay attention to very often. Beg him to have the grace to be free of that, to be free of that prison sentence, and be grateful for the divine mercy.